Leute Peter given us an update on what has happened in the ISP so far. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for making the time to come here for the next day and a half. We really appreciate it, and I think particularly this meeting with the interaction between the preparers and users, we always find extremely valuable and very interesting. I just want to highlight a few things on agenda paper one. And if you're following the paper, it's there on page two. So the thing that's probably dominated the board's agenda for the last few months at least has been insurance contracts, and that project is now finished. The board issued IFRS 17 last month. In addition, the board has finished all its discussions on the conceptual framework, and we're now working through the drafting and any issues that come up during the drafting, and we expect to publish that towards the end of the year. I'll mention a couple of things that aren't highlighted in the paper. First of all, we issued a new website last weekend. There was becoming increasing amount of information on the website. It was getting quite hard to find, so we've completely redesigned it and tried to make it easier to use. One thing I'd like to highlight for you about the website is that you can subscribe to alerts on any topic you want, as long as it's related to us, of course. One of the things I stumbled across today, which I hadn't realised we were doing before, is that we've been sending out a monthly update, sort of high-level update of things we do to stakeholders who we think are particularly interested in it. I think a few of you have previously been subscribed to that, but it was done by email. But it is now posted on the website, and you can also register for it, so you get an alert when it's issued. That's called the stakeholder update if you look for it. But similarly, you can follow any project. It's a bit like a kind of social media site in a way that you follow projects and you get told when things are happening. We've got some changes in the board membership. First of all, I'll mention, because I see him sitting in the audience, we had a new board member started in April, Tom Scott from Canada. He's lurking at the back there. Tom, do you want to identify yourself? And we've also got three new board members starting over the next few months. We've got Jin Chao Liu from China, Ann Tarker from Australia, and Nick Anderson from the UK, a user from the UK. And they're starting over the summer, basically, various times over the summer. We recently issued the 2017 version of our pocket guide, which is a summary of how the standards are used around the world. It's got quite a lot of useful information, summaries of standards and such like. And also on the new website, a lot of that information is more easily available now than it was on the old website. The last thing I wanted to mention is wider corporate reporting, which is discussed in the paper. It's in paragraph A5 in the appendix. That's not officially a project at the moment. It's something where we're doing some exploratory work. And the question there is, what sort of role should the board play outside traditional financial reporting in things like sustainability and such like, integrated reporting, things of that kind. The board's had an initial discussion, has got some interest in looking at that area, and has asked the staff to do a bit more work to try and scope what we might do, possibly with the thought of updating our practice statement on management commentary as a first step. I'm going to hand over to Henry, who I think would like to mention a couple of points on the implementation activities.
Yes, thanks, Peter. And actually, Peter, you just reminded me with the new website. Maybe I could just highlight one aspect of the new website, which I hope people will find to be an improvement over the current website. It's about how we bring together the materials that we have supporting the application of the standards and implementation of the standards. We have various resources currently available, but they're sort of somewhat scattered over the website. So one of the things we're trying to do with the new website is sort of bring these into a logical home. So you'll find there's a supporting implementation tab at the top of the screen, and that fairly quickly takes you to basically a listing of all of the standards and interpretations, and then you can click on any one of those standards. So for example, if you were to go to IFRS 16, the new leases standard, click on there and you'll find there effectively all of the materials that we've produced since we published the standards supporting the implementation of the standard. So we've done various webcasts and there's various articles. They're all just organised by standard. They're much easier to find, I hope. One of the other things that this does is it also allows us to bring together the agenda decisions in a more user-friendly way. So there's still a listing of all of the agenda decisions under the work of the Interpretations Committee, but we've also brought the agenda decisions under this sort of listing of all of the individual standards, so you can quickly find any relevant agenda decision for a particular standard. And we'll obviously continue to refine and work on this over the coming months, but I think it just makes the organisation of our supporting materials just much, much more user-friendly, I hope. I guess the one thing I really just wanted to highlight in terms of just recent developments in the implementation space is to highlight that I think it was last week we issued a new interpretation at CIPRIC 23. It's about accounting for uncertain income tax treatment, so it just provides additional guidance to support IAS 12 in accounting for uncertain tax positions. That has an effective date of January 2019. So that's something that wasn't sort of highlighted in the paper. But obviously in the paper we've highlighted all of the work that the Interpretations Committee has been doing over its last few meetings. In fact, the Interpretations Committee had another meeting at the beginning of this week as well. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any comments, questions on our recent work and the update given in paper one?
Can the staff give more detail of what you're thinking about in the area of wider corporate reporting? And the board directed you to do more analysis. One of them was talk to the advisory council. Mm-hmm. And then you talk to the advisory council, and it sounded like there was maybe a concern over management commentary, and maybe the thought process, what I heard tangentially, is no one's using it. Would maybe the comment, I could be wrong on that. But what specifically is the staff doing? And I guess I just ask the board of the ISB, maybe some board members can comment on this. What do they think your mission in life is? Is it to be an accounting standard setter with debits and credits? And what some of us think is based on a manufacturing economy that's now passed us by 40 years, or are you in the business of improving corporate reporting? And if you are, what specifically are you doing? So I just want more detail of what you're doing. It seems delay, delay, delay.
Mm-hmm. Well, funnily enough, that's the question the board asked the staff as well, is what are you thinking of doing? To which the staff didn't yet have the answer. But the idea was, first of all, management commentary, because it's a few years since it's issued. It's about 6 or 7 years, I think, since it was issued. So the first step is that obviously things have moved on a bit since then. There's been integrated reporting. There's some of the climate disclosures coming out. There's been a proliferation of different bodies producing different pieces of guidance. So at the very least, I think the staff felt it was useful to look at the management commentary again and see whether it needs updating in the light of some of those developments. So that would be the minimalist question. Now, I think the area that concerned the board and seemed to come through quite strongly in the board discussion, and I think to some extent in the advisory council as well, is how big a piece of work is that and how far could you go? Somebody's produced this statistic that there are 400 organisations producing guidance that people could be considering following. Clearly, if we look at 400 different pieces of guidance and try and integrate them, we won't be finished this decade probably if we try and do anything with that. So I think scoping what we try and do is pretty important. In terms of management and commentary, the question the board had, I guess, is how much influence does the management commentary have? And I think there are two aspects to that. One is how much are people actually using it directly? That's probably relatively limited because it wasn't really expected that there'd be take up in the major markets, because by and large they have their own regulations on management commentary already. And the niche that the board at the time felt would be useful to fill would be emerging markets who maybe weren't able to develop their own guidance. So that's one question. We want to get more information about how much has actually been used directly. But we do think it does have some indirect influence as well. I mean, we often hear people talking about, for example, the conceptual framework or management commentary in other organisations, because often it's kind of a natural starting point for them to look at, because it's in some ways the most developed sort of sets of guidance. And so we think even if nobody was using it directly, there might still be some indirect benefit in looking at it. But that's really what the staff is doing now, trying to assess some of those issues and come back to the board at some stage over the next few months to look at the options.
And only to add something, because in 2016, when the trustees have done their strategic and effective analysis, they asked also the question, should the board be engaged more in this wider corporate reporting arena? And the answers to that was, I think, very clear. And they say we should not. We should maybe be involved and do something, but really not to take a lead and not exactly what we are doing. So it is a good question. And because I think that what we're hearing in a lot of conference, others outreach, that people saying, okay, that the relevance of the pure accounting is really going down and is more increasing by the corporate reporting. So I think we are concerned about that. And that is why we have done this or are doing this research project. What is the right way? But there's not a clear answer to that. And also from our stakeholders, there's not a clear answer in which way we should go. Kevin.
Peter and Henry on just a new website. If the projects that are being worked on currently prior to the publication of either a discussion paper or an exposure draft, if you can house all the staff papers together in that location as well, rather than hunting through all of the board meetings in order to find the staff papers supporting where that project is moving, that would also be useful as part of the process.
Okay, Mata?
I'd like to make a comment on whether financial reporting is losing relevance. I think that is not the case. I think indeed there is more attention and valid attention to the management report, but the relevance of financial reporting is as strong as it used to be, it will be and it will remain to be. I mean, we need both. And it doesn't mean that because there's more attention now for a management report that the relevance of the ISB is diminishing.
Yes, if I could just question that, is you said both, and so what does both mean? And I'm looking for, we hear, I don't know, 400 maybe organizations or frameworks, seems like a new organization pops up every day. It doesn't seem like our profession is taking leadership whatsoever, but I ask you if it's fit for purpose. Is it fit for purpose in and of itself? So I go to the statistics that 40 years ago, when people claimed that our economy went through a major revolution, like going to the Industrial Revolution, is what everyone calls a technology revolution. So I go back 40 years, the balance sheet, whatever you want to do, however you want to talk about it, it represented 80% of the market capitalization of companies. Now it represents 20%. Do you think that's not a problem?
I agree that it's not a problem.
And so when you say it's fit for purpose, it's not a problem. Why not?
So it's indeed that some organizations turn out to be able to add value without huge amounts of assets. You don't need a billion structure to make a billion revenue anymore. So that's the changing economy, and actually, that's exactly what the financial accounts reflect. We see services organizations adding huge amounts of value, which
seem adding value, but yeah. I'm getting to the information you're provided and how they're providing service. What do you look at?
Here we. I agree with that. I mean, what investors would like to investors want to understand the business, and actually that doesn't start in the financial accounts. That starts in the management report. So I want to dilute the relevance of the management report and the huge steps forward which are being made led by the IRC. And they are now in the position to lead further. And and it would be a bit strange, actually, for the ISB now to say, okay, IRC, you can come under our umbrella, because it's not the umbrella. The financial reporting is not the umbrella. IRC has a position to become that umbrella.
Yeah, what I want to say is, look at all these people around this table, yeah. And we focus on this stuff day in, day out. Revenue recognition is consuming us. Where is the urgency, the action. The IRC is a very small organization that's strapped to try and do something with all these 400 organizations.
Yeah.
Where's the passion? Where's the leadership from the profession?
There is, unfortunately, there's no leadership in that sense. I mean, we actually urge the IRC to take up that leadership, but it's a young organization. And that it's actually remarkable what they've accomplished since 2013. About 30% of Dutch companies now produces an integrated report. I mean, it's but they need to push on as well and indeed take leadership. And there's it will be much more. I mean, let's say the IASB is trying to set generic standards for all industries. If you look at sustainability reporting, it's very difficult to find sustainability KPIs that are valid across all industries. So it's a totally different approach. Very, very, very. If you compare it to where the IRC is, very mature, and this is more in its infancy. And indeed, in this phase, it's not strange that there's no clear leader yet. But we do urge the IRC to take up that position.
Peter?
Since we're talking about this very long-term perspective of 40 years, and I've been a part of most of those, my view is actually that the bigger challenge has been the mergers and acquisition area. 40 years ago, that was not that difficult. Consolidation wasn't a big issue. Since then, it has been, and I think goodwill and other items related to IFRS 3, we are constantly working with it, we are constantly struggling with it as users, and you are constantly struggling with it as preparers, and to me that is definitely the biggest challenge. On top of that, the revenue structure in a company has changed dramatically over 40 years. As you pointed out, 40 years ago, it was more about products, period. Now we bundle the products together into some kind of subscription of some sort with guarantees and whatever. And that is also something that the ISP has actually dealt with, as we know, the last 15 years though, but still dealt with. So I don't really agree that you are working with the wrong issues here. Those are the two major issues that I have come across over the 35 years that I have been an equity analyst. So I think keep on working with the topics that you do.
Okay, thank you for that. And when I think that is a topic maybe for our next joint meeting, because I think we have to do first some research, because we have seen it also today as different views, and I think it's not an easy decision what we should do and if any, in which direction we should go. Okay. Malcolm?
Perhaps since we're talking about sort of, we got into a bit of the sustainability issue, where's the ISB with its guidance now on what's the latest? I mean, it used to be called emissions schemes, and we get the latest rebranding of the project, but where do you stand on that guidance on?
Yeah, so we've got a project on pollutant pricing mechanisms, is the new speak, which is supposed to be a bit broader than just emission trading schemes. It's in what we call the research pipeline, which means it's not something we're working on actively at the moment, but it's something that we expect to work on at some stage over the next 4 to 5 years, depending on exactly what the priorities are at the time. So it'll come back at some stage, but probably not tomorrow, I suspect.
So it's not on the active agenda?
It's not on the active agenda at the moment. We did do a bit of work 2 or 3 years back, but didn't get that far with it. Do you sense that that's becoming more urgent than it was, or is it sort of staying at the same level? Or?
Well, picking up on Bob's, perhaps some of Bob's discussions. I mean, I think for me, I do see that as the concrete area of interaction between accounting and sort of wider corporate responsibility activities. So, I don't think you should ignore. I think there is scope for you being more active in that area. I mean, I think it's the, as I say, the concrete area of interaction between sort of accounting and the wider corporate responsibility activity.
Yeah.
Just following on from what you just said, Peter, I think, sure, maybe emission trading is not an urgent project, but as governments get more and more imaginative on their taxes, some of which are recoverable via processes similar to emission trading schemes, there's probably some sort of urgent need to deal with sort of non-IAS 12 taxes and how those are expensed or recovered or charged, because those seem to be the growing area of government levies, which aren't just naturally expenses, could be assets, could even be potential future liabilities.
Yeah, that came up a bit in the agenda consultation a year or two back. It didn't seem to be top of most people's lists at that stage anyway. But
yeah, so I think, you know, I think one of the situations, working in continental Africa, where governments seem to be perpetually short of money, VAT refunds, instead of occurring after 45 or 60 days, are starting to become more like 9 months and 12 months. They're not technically financial instruments under the guidance as it's a government levy, but they're no longer short-term assets. So it's a gap at the moment. And say carbon taxes is another one that's fast approaching, which is or isn't recoverable depending on what you're doing, as opposed to trading.
Okay, any other comments? No problem. Not the case.